This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 217 in the series. The Franklin Public Radio team gathered to broadcast live on WFPR-FM, 1029 on your dial, from Franklin High School, as the polls closed at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, March 3rd, also called Super Tuesday. As the Franklin results were tabulated, we would be ready to share Town Clerk Teresa Burr's information. If you happened to tune in live or read the news on Wednesday, you found out that due to the spreadsheet problem, the results were not available for broadcast. I did stop by the town clerk's office on Wednesday to capture what you will hear here and what were still at the time the unofficial results. You'll hear Teresa and Assistant Clerk Nancy Dinello provide the quick summary. The official results will be certified and submitted to the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office by Friday, March 6th. The results, when available, will also be found on the Franklin Town Clerk page and Franklin Matters. I want to thank my co-hosts, Jim Derrick and Frank Falvey. Also, thanks to Pete Fasciano, Keith Palmieri, and Mark Berman for the technical work to enable this broadcast. And special thanks to our guests, Rep. Jeff Roy, Town Councilor Glenn Jones, and School Committee Member M.J. Schofield.
Welcome to Franklin Public Radio's local election results, reporting direct from Franklin High School, where the polls have now officially closed. Teresa Burr, Franklin's town clerk, is now starting the process of tallying all of the day's results. She'll have her final vote tally of winners a bit later in our broadcast. I'm Diane Joyce. Joining me with coverage and insights on the day's activities are Steve Sherlock and Frank Falvey.
Also with us, Jim Derrick. Nice to have you with us on this cycle. Jim, I'm Pete McKay.
Great to be here, Pete. Thanks for that warm introduction. I am Jim Derrick. I am here at election headquarters in the town of Franklin, Massachusetts, where we are enjoying a mighty rainstorm, but it doesn't seem to have dampened voter turnout so far. I am here with my colleagues Steve Sherlock and Frank Falvey. What do you think so far, Steve?
It's been a busy turnout. We'll catch the final numbers, but at this point, they're going to be relatively close to some of the prior years, but won't be a major, you know, top at this point.
Sure. What about you, Frank?
Well, we're here at the Franklin Gymnasium, where the town clerk has just officially said the polls are closed.
That's right.
Traditionally, Franklin has always voted either at the field house or at the gymnasium. Today was no exception from 6 to 8. I see a lot of tired workers getting ready to go home that have been checking people in on their computer in polling places, and they're picking up all the pencils and papers. But today, Jim, we've seen early in the morning people going to work coming and voting. We've seen later in the morning traditionally older people come. We've seen parents walking with their children, young babies.
Isn't that encouraging when you see a whole family walk in? And I think we see more of that. Maybe I'm just more accustomed to it, or rather more attuned to it, but it seems to me like there are more families coming out en masse to vote. Do you think so, Steve?
It certainly seems visibly so. I have only been here officially for the last couple of elections as part of this, so my experience from that viewpoint is a little different. But it certainly is a happy sign to see the voters introducing the process to the youth. It's definitely a good sign.
What do you think about this particular election? As Steve, you looked historically back, all the way back to 2000 at election cycles. What do you think is motivating people to get out in this particular election?
We'll find out what the numbers say. Clearly, based upon what we were getting in the lead up, this being Super Tuesday, there's a lot of hype around, you know, what the Democrat side's finally going to be. The Republican side clearly is set at this point. So we're going to see what the results are. Hopefully the anticipation will have some people dialing in to listen to what we're going to get when Teresa gives us the numbers in a bit.
We had a couple of candidates drop out. Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg have just dropped out, yet their names are on the ballot.
Right.
I know, Frank, you have a definite opinion about that.
Yes, I do. I think they showed a lack of character. I think the Democratic Party probably talked to him and shows a lack of character. I think at this point to drop out less than 24 hours before the election, when 4 days of absentee and voting has gone on, is a disgrace and throws this election, in my opinion, in the Democratic Party as a terrible Super Tuesday.
Wow.
That should not have ever happened. They should have dropped out after Nevada.
Wow.
The Democratic Party is going downhill fast based on the last 24 hours.
It is 8:04 and we have our first election controversy right here at Franklin Public High School.
And Jim, I'm 78 years old.
Yes.
The people remaining to run for president, okay, will all be older than me by the time they're elected or served. At 78, not one of them should be president.
You know, it's amazing the stamina that these candidates have. I look at Joe Biden, or any of them at this point. Your point is well
right.
taken.
The survivors, literally.
Right? Literally survivors.
Yeah.
Steve, how historically, what is Franklin's turnout for a night like this? Historically, if you had to look back.
It
terms
varies.
Of percentages.
Yeah, I don't have the percents in front of me, but it was 5,000, 4,000, 8,000, 3,000, and close to 10,000. So round numbers in that 5,000 to 6,000.
That 10,000 mark was, came in 2016, did
2016.
It?
2016.
Yeah. So probably mirrors a lot of what a lot of the rest of the country's doing, right? Wouldn't you say?
I would think, because if we're certainly not that unique. That would be close.
One of the things, Jim, here is a lack of people outside all day holding signs. I didn't see one candidate having a sign outside all day long. What does that say about election?
I know. It's usually we're very well populated with signs, and I see somebody across the room that can probably help answer some of those questions, State Representative Roy, and maybe I'll go ask him just that question. But it's a good point, Frank. Representative Roy.
Yes, sir.
Jim Derrick, Franklin Public Radio. Yes.
Jim Derrick, I've heard a lot about you.
Hey, we were just having a conversation about the lack of signage outside. Is there a reason for that?
Lack of signage? Because I think most people have come to the realization that signs don't vote, and I would guarantee you that all those people who would potentially be out there holding signs were on the telephones urging people to get out and vote. I heard a lot about phone banks that were going on all over the place, and that's where I think those folks were.
If I can ask you a question, we just had a little bit of a controversy at 8:04, just 4 minutes out of the gate. We were talking a little bit about Mayor Pete's and Amy Klobuchar's decision to drop out when they did. How do you see that?
Well, I see that. Let me tell you, from my perspective, I watched the last debate. I was extremely disappointed in what I saw. And I said, folks, you need to get in a room. You need to come together, you need to pick a candidate, and don't hand this to the Republican opponent. And I think that these folks did have that type of a moment, saw that they weren't making it in the polls, and thought, what can I do instead of supporting myself, what can I do to support the party and to support the effort to remove Donald Trump from the White House? And I think they did the right thing by coming together. They picked the candidate that they thought most matched their views. And if you look at Pete Buttigieg and you look at Amy Klobuchar, they were probably more closely aligned with Joe Biden, and they put their faith behind him.
Thank you, Jeff.
What you said?
No, it was interesting. I just got the total, at least the total. So 67, 69 total voters today.
We're looking at the polling boxes actually being, Steve, being accumulated. Yeah, you've seen this process before, but I just got goosebumps looking at this.
This is democracy in action for sure. The new green shiny boxes are for the poll pads. If you remember from years ago, you always had the book. with the address lines, etc.
Yes, right.
They've been gradually working away from the book. The book is still required per state regulations for the checkouts, but they've allowed the pad to be used for the check-in in parallel with the book.
Right.
So those green boxes have all the pads for the eight precincts, and the poll workers have almost finished buttoning them all up.
So we've got, close to a baker's dozen of...
It should be 16, right,
based on the precincts of lime green pods, I'm going to call them, in front of us. And
I'm watching the counters tabulate
the votes right now. It's really, like you said, somebody said democracy in action, and that's what we're watching right here. While we have State Representative Roy at our disposal, I'd like to take a moment, if I could, just to ask you about another race. It doesn't involve Super Tuesday, but it is the race between that I know you've been heavily involved in, which is between Joe Kennedy and Senator Edward Markey.
Yes, that race is for the next U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. And Joe Kennedy is our current congressman. He represents Franklin as part of the 4th Congressional District. And he has decided to take on Ed Markey, who is the incumbent. And, you know, there are a lot of people who have some misgivings, thinking that Joe didn't, quote, wait his turn, and think that, you know, he should not have gotten into the race. But I've talked to him about it on many occasions. And, you know, he's 39 years old. He has a vision. He's done some great things for this district and the people in this district. And I don't take away from what Ed Markey has done. He's been a great congressman. He's been a great senator. But, you know, as Joe's great uncle said, the torch is passed to a new generation. And I think that's what this country needs. We see a lot of anger and division in this country because people are frustrated with the way things are going in this system, and I think Joe's going to bring a new energy and a new life to the position of senator and hopefully bring folks together. I've watched him side by side working with other folks in the aisle. As a matter of fact, Jim, you were with me when we went to the Edward M. Kennedy Institute in December of 2018 and saw Joe participate in a panel. It was Joe, another Democrat, and two Republican congresspeople speaking about how they work together in Congress on projects together. Even though they don't see the world in the same way, they work together. That's the type of vision we need to move to get us out of this malaise or this funk that America is in. That's why I'm putting all of my support behind Joe Kennedy in this race.
And you know, Jeff, thank you for that. And you're right, I was there. And one of the great privileges that I've also had is I've been your guest at the State House, and I've been your guest at a town hall forum for Joe Kennedy recently, and at other political events. And I have to say, whether you're a Kennedy fan, whether you're a Markey fan, are there other candidates running?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay, so it's whether you're a Kennedy fan or a Markey fan, get involved. No matter what your political bent is, there is nothing more exciting than being involved with your local leaders. If you can find, if you, Jeff is not your state rep, find your local state rep. But if Jeff is your state rep, you owe yourself a service to go up and have your state house tour, which is second to none. So I thank you for that. Frank.
Mentioning Representative Kennedy running for the state Senate, U.S. Senate. That leaves his seat open. And there are currently like nine candidates that people ought to be aware that they want to find out more about those individual candidates so they can make an informed decision. I was amazed at I think probably eight of the nine candidates are under 30 years of age. They're pretty young individuals that are running.
It's young, but they're probably under 40.
Under 40.
I'm not sure that they're all under 30. But you know something, they had their first debate last week at Boston College, and I think now you're going to see more attention focused on that race. I have actually sat down with each of the candidates in that race, trying to get to know them, trying to get an understanding of what they stand for and how they will help our district. That's important to me. Whoever gets elected, I want to know what they're going to be able to do for our communities in this race. So I've been meeting with them on a regular basis, and at some point I think I will get involved and endorse one of the candidates.
Those boxes, Jim,
yes,
are a terrible orchid green, aren't they?
Well, they are really. I tell you what.
Look at them.
I thought they brought out life preservers because of all the rain or something, but they are quite green. Hey, we've got a great panel with us here to talk a little bit about public service. From my right, Mary Jane Schofield, second term on school committee.
Second go round.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, multiple terms.
To my left, Glenn Jones. Glenn Jones, who is in how many terms on town council?
Six terms on town council. Yep.
That's great. And, of course, Jeffrey Roy, our esteemed state representative. Thank you all for sitting down with us for a minute. I know we've all got questions that are burning on our mind. My very first question is this, Mary Jane, for you. School committee, why would somebody want to be on school committee? What was your burning desire to get involved?
My first question is, why wouldn't they want to be?
Excellent.
When I first ran, my stepson was here at the high school. My son was at Horseman, I believe. And there weren't enough candidates, common problem. And it was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I think I took out my papers on Thursday and had to have them back by Monday. And I had way too many. And it was a very fun experience. Going through the whole election process, meeting all different people, it's been great. And there's nothing like giving back to your community.
Love that. I love that. And there's plenty of room for people to give back, Glenn. There's more than one opportunity. There's a ton of committees that you can serve on, ton of volunteer roles. What are some of those roles? How would someone like me get involved?
Well, there are a multitude of volunteer positions in the town of Franklin, and one of the things that I've always encouraged people to do is get involved. Everybody has their certain level of comfort that they may want to get involved. Some people might be a little scared of that. Going after a higher position like the town council or the school committee might seem like a very daunting position, but if they're willing to get involved, and even on a small level, they can get involved in like the historical commission. They can go potentially. I've got two microphones in my face over here.
We're thorough.
they can. There's volunteer positions. There's volunteer positions that they have both through the recreation department, through the senior center, through the library, and even volunteer positions that they can do at the town hall. So one of the best things to do, and as the communication liaison for the council, I'd be remiss if I didn't say you can actually go directly to the Town of Franklin website at franklinma.gov and
Correct.
Look up volunteer opportunities directly through the front page of the website.
Yes, sir. We are going to go now to a woman who came in tonight and we had an opportunity to speak to, and it was a very, very special night. Take it away, Pete. So I am here with a very special voter tonight. Sandhya is voting in her very first election. You are here from India, and welcome to the United States of America and your first vote.
Thank you so much. I am super excited. This is the first time I got my citizenship last year, and I've been waiting, and I'm trying to educate myself, but this is my opportunity to make a difference.
Right. And you're here with your daughter, and does it mean something to see your mom vote in her first election?
Yes, it does. It makes her really excited to be able to vote, and I'm happy when my mom's happy, so.
Oh, that's so wonderful, wonderful. And you said that you recently became knowledgeable about what's going on politically here in the States. What is your sense for the overall political climate right now? Are you optimistic, or how do you feel generally going into this election?
Just seeing the amount of people who are showing up with their children around here, I feel optimistic, because that means there's going to be a change.
Right, right. And is this an important vote for you for change?
Yes.
Okay, great. And how about you? Do you feel optimistic? You're recently, how long have you been in the country?
I've been in the country for 11 years.
You were born here. Wonderful. So you've been here your entire life.
Yes.
And so you have a good sense. Do you feel involved with politics here? Do you feel, do you pay attention to what's going on?
Actually, not that much.
That's okay. But it, what a wonderful thing that you get to be here with your mom in her very first vote. So may I be the first to welcome you to the voting process here in the United States of America, and thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me, and I'm very excited.
Great. Thanks again. Good luck. What a great thing, and what a great representation of what it means to be an American and to be voting today on Super Tuesday here at Franklin Public High School with Steve Sherlock, Frank Falvey, and esteemed panel. We are watching these, what do you call these things, Steve? Are they pods? Are they?
The green pods?
Yeah, the green pods.
Yeah, the poll pads.
Poll pads, okay. Yeah, poll pads, which
just containers for the poll pads.
We're watching them being unbundled. We're watching the tally. There is no way to tell who's in the lead by looking at those faces. They just look tired. But, hey, while we're talking about it, let's get getting back to the election. I thought the last conversation about stormwater might have been somehow tied to the way people feel about politics these days. Does anybody have any general thoughts about, let's just talk about the Democratic primary in general? Glenn, do you have any thoughts?
In regards to
how people are handling themselves, who you'd like to see win?
I love the process. I'm not really particularly looking to see if any one person wins, but I do love to watch the process, and I love to see people get involved.
Right.
And that's really the most important part, because there is no better system in this world than our democratic system.
What do you think about the crowded field at the beginning in terms of just the whole optic? I mean, I wax poetic about the old debate days when you had...
I'll give you an example, actually. Because just to prove how awesome our system is and how well structured our system is, when I was in Haiti in October 2010, at the time they were having a presidential election, there were 150 people running for president of Haiti.
Now that's a crowded stage.
50.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a crowded
stage. So we think we have issues when we have maybe a dozen or 15 people running for president. But what's so great about our process is that we take the opportunity to give everybody an opportunity to get their word, their thoughts, their ideas out there to the public. And if everyone has an interest in them, then they support them, and it moves forward up to the point where we're at now, where tonight is a huge night in regards to who's going to walk away with the largest delegate count for the Democrats specifically. I think the Republicans, what, it's 90% Trump or something like that. That tonight's going to be a really telling night for a shorthand of people who've made it this far.
And we've got candidates that have dropped out that are on the ballot.
Obviously, yeah. What I've seen so far today before I came over here, states like Virginia, North Carolina. North Carolina went to Joe Biden. Vermont went to Bernie Sanders. Massachusetts, the numbers are just coming in now. So it's going to be a really telling night for that shorthand of people who are still standing for the primaries today. In California, I think I've been told, they might not even actually have those numbers upwards of about a week away until they actually get all that 100% of those numbers in. But as they said on the news earlier, California actually got moved to tonight, which I guess was previously weeks or even a month away from when it usually was.
Mary Jane Schofield, I'm curious as to what you think the role of what about teaching civics in our schools? Has that started to surface, Glenn? That's, anybody?
That's on the radar. Okay.
State representative.
That was one of the bills that I filed in the last session. The legislature did pass a comprehensive bill on civics education, and I think most schools are going to implement that in the fall. And I always go back and I say, if the 2016 election taught me anything, is that we definitely need civics in schools. And, you know, another comment on what's happening in 2020, I mean, I view this as probably the most consequential election that we have seen since the Civil War.
It looks like we've got some early results coming in from down south, and it looks like Joe Biden has carried three particular states, narrow victories. Is that what you're getting, Glenn?
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
For Biden.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of talk over the past 24 hours about possibly Mayor Bloomberg getting out of the race, not necessarily from his camp, but mainly from others that would like to see votes consolidated. What do you think about that, Glenn?
I don't think Bloomberg should be in this race at all, to be honest with you. I mean, the one thing that I can totally, I feel passionate about is that if you're going to get into the process, you get in from the process, from a grassroots perspective, from the beginning, going around doing your due diligence to meet the people and get their votes and win their hearts, not just throw money at something and hope that you're going to get the candidacy.
Oh,
that's
Glenn,
you
wish you had $1 billion to throw into an electorate?
Well, believe me, if I had $1 billion to throw at electorate, I could think of better things to spend my money on.
Hey, let's let's go back to Peter J. and hear from Kate O'Brien. This is Jim Derrick, and I'm here with Mount St. Charles Senior Kate O'Brien. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
And you just told me that you are on the way to becoming an engineer, but more importantly than that, you are here for your very first vote.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
It means something to you?
Yeah, I'm very excited to actually have a say in what's happening around me.
Right. Has this been something you have been looking forward to for a long time?
I never really thought too much into it, but my sister is very active in voter registration, and so she kind of pushed me to do it, and then in the past couple weeks I've been looking and trying to get more informed, so that's been a pretty exciting process.
Have you learned over through your time through high school and otherwise, obviously both of your parents are here with you, the vote is something you don't take for granted?
Definitely not.
Right. Tell me what in general, I'm not going to ask you specifically who you're voting for, but in general, what do you hope to see over the next 4 years or so?
Definitely looking for better way of life for more people and seeing some significant changes happening.
In what areas specifically?
In welfare for everybody, and just, I would say, making people better, like making their lives better. And
Social welfare is something that's important to you, and you know, I have to be honest, that's one of the things that makes me so enthusiastic about your generation, is I think you have a good view of taking care of other people, and that's obviously something that's important to you. Is this an important night for you in terms of change? I mean, does this election represent change to you?
For sure, yeah. I haven't been really happy with how our country's been going and the direction we're moving into, and especially the world in general, like with climate change and everything, we're on a downhill slope, so being able to participate and try to lift things up is very exciting for me.
Full disclosure, I'm a big fan of Mount St. Charles, and I know that you told me about some of your choices. I know you've done very, very well there, so it's probably, scholarships are probably on the horizon for you, but what are some of the issues that most concern you? If you had to pick two or three, is it the cost of education? Is it the environment? What types of things most concern you?
Yeah, I would say the cost of education is a really big one, especially with so much student debt now, and like that's being a problem that I'll have to face soon. But more important than that would be climate change. Like, we're in the early stages of March and we had a day that was like 65 degrees out. That's not normal. And in January is the warmest month. That's not good. We're not really heading in a good direction there, and having like no snow this winter, that's not normal. And I think that's something that we as a world, not just a country, need to be working on and fixing.
As you look beyond college for your professional life, do you think you'll be working on some of these issues as an engineer?
I definitely hope to, just to make everything kind of balance out and be a better place again. That's kind of why I wanted to go into engineering, to help other people and be able to do that with what I know.
Fantastic, Kate. Well, I can't thank you enough for spending some time and holding your parents up here as they wait patiently. Good luck with everything next year, okay?
I'm Peter J. This is WFPR LP 102.9 in Franklin, Massachusetts. We are in the Franklin High School gym with Jim Derrick, Steve Sherlock, Frank Falvey, and we also have Representative Jeff Roy with us, along with Glenn Jones. And take it away, guys.
Thank you, Peter. That was Kate O'Brien from my son's alma mater, Mount St. Charles, and she gave a rosy perspective to it. Her very first vote here at Franklin Public High School in any election.
It's an exciting time for her as a first voter, and maybe with the interview and the memory of that, that'll add to making this a memorable day for her. So to recap, at least in terms of where we are, obviously at the high school, the pool of conversationalists are here. We just got an early return, at least from the processing by the clerks. What they're doing with the eight precincts, they're into the fourth precinct tally, so they still have four more precincts to go, so that gives us an opportunity to continue some conversations here. I know we've got a couple of other things queued, but where we're at, obviously it was fairly busy today. For those who are tuning in now, there were 6,769, so 6,769 voters, approximately 30%. I don't have the math totally in front of me, but approximately 30%. The total registered voters per the clerk were 23,968. So you can get out your calculators and run that number and see where we're at. For those who did not catch us earlier in this, for a little bit of perspective, the presidential primary in 2000 had 5,100 total voters. In 2004, there were 3,600 approximately. In 2008, it grew to 8,600 voters. 2012, 3,100. And in 2016 was the peak, at least in terms of the most recent voter total, at 9,763. So we've dropped approximately 3,000 voters between 2016 and 2020. That probably speaks to some of the party discussions that you were having. As we look at the numbers, certainly one party versus another tends to have a drive some of the turnout. In some years, the turnout was fairly equivalent, so both sides had a close race. But this year, it seems that the Democrat side was going to be probably the leading candidate in terms of driving out the votes. Any insights on that? Anybody want to chime in?
It's great to have those statistics because, I mean, we hear a lot of people complain, and I know in years, year over year, that the turnout for, say, a town council vote can be alarmingly low. If you were to look at Facebook, you'd think, my God, every voter in and then some are coming out for an election. So I think it's important. It also, you know, it's obvious in the 2016 election, we had an enormously high turnout. Very hotly contested race. I'm just looking at CNN right now, Steve, and it looks like CNN has called Alabama for Joe Biden, has called North Carolina for Joe Biden, has called Virginia for Joe Biden, and Vermont for Bernie Sanders. And that's what I have so far for early returns. So, you know, it looks like Joe Biden has a new life, if you will, if he needed one.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's going to happen, and I think the news was right when they said that it's still kind of early because when California starts chiming in, Texas chimes in, two of the largest stakeholders in the delegate count, that's going to be the real stake that really puts it in somebody, and we'll see what happens.
I wonder if it ever gets to a point in a candidate's life cycle where they just need a win. I'm sure that's true. I know it was true in sales. You just need a win. And you could see Joe's color come back a little bit after his well, exactly. Exactly. I was just having a conversation with Mary Jane Schofield from the Franklin School Committee about some of the issues that are up. And one of them is the Davis Thayer proposed, or rather the study on Davis Thayer. Could you talk a little bit about that?
The facility closing study. We had a demographer do a study looking at the trends in the the births, the deaths, giving us the age ranges for the past 10 years at least. But he went back further, and we're gonna the subcommittee is holding a meeting tomorrow night in the Oak Street cafeteria to go over those numbers with folks, just to make sure that everybody understands what they mean. We're not going to have a report on the facility from the architect until at least the end of April, and there are going to be so many other things that will be considered. the number of new houses that are being built, the number of apartments that are coming online. The man, Dr. McGibbon, he said not to, put a whole lot into the number of, housing units coming on. He said what we really have to look at is the number of sales of existing homes, not the new ones. That's going to be, one of the key factors. He gave us a list of 17 things to look at, but that was the one, to me, that stood out. It's funny. I was mentioning to Jim that my mother, she lives in Wellesley, and the McKibben did a study for Wellesley maybe about 5 years ago, and they're not looking at the existing home sales. They're looking at the knockdowns.
Right. One of the things that I'll probably get killed for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. It's always bothered me when people have children that leave the home and then they're no longer interested in the fiscal ongoings of the school systems. And Mary Jane looks like she's about to faint. I just find it, it's all of our responsibility to be good stewards of our town, and that includes the school system. And if these numbers, Glenn, it's not like you guys haven't been over the numbers a few thousand times, right?
Countless times. I'm sorry, I can't.
Not a ton of fat.
No, yeah. No. I mean, the town of Franklin, and I know Steve has all the data to back it up. It's a well-run, lean budget. I mean, unlike the U.S. government, we have to have a balanced budget by law. And we are mandated also by law to have a maximum of 2.5% annual that we can have additional assessment due to Proposition 2.5. So we certainly aren't fat. Things are running smoothly now, and hopefully we'll stay on track with that. But we will be having a budget update tomorrow night at the Franklin Town Council meeting from the town administrator. We're starting to get the numbers coming in. I know the school committee is looking at some numbers. We should be getting the rest of the budget numbers currently being processed and ultimately have to be compiled and presented to us come late May for the next budget season.
I have some returns in from CNN right now. The American Samoa, with 100% of the vote in,
Mike Bloomberg
has won 49.9% of the vote. How about that?
How many delegates in American Samoa?
Yeah.
We realized as we were listening that we had a couple of clarifications to make. So, MJ, I think you had one of them.
Yes. Okay. The meeting that is going to be held at the Oak Street School about the Davis Thayer facility closing study. To review the demographic information, it is on Thursday, not on Wednesday.
March 5th.
March 5th. Thank you very much.
Not a problem.
And it's from 7 until 8:30.
As posted so far, although I'm sure if the discussions really got involved, it might continue a little bit beyond 8:30 if necessary.
Yeah, well, Dr. Hearn had received several positive responses that people will be there. So, she'll go over the information with everyone and, certainly not leave until everybody's questions are answered.
Good, because having seen the presentation from Dr. McKibben, as you mentioned, there were 19 assumptions listed. He highlighted two, one of which makes sense if you think about it in terms of the mortgage rate, keeping it at under 5. Certainly that's an easy entree for somebody who is going to take a mortgage. You'd rather do that at a lower percent rather than a higher. But then the other point that you mentioned in the earlier segment, I believe, was in terms of the existing home sales. I know we get some reports on a monthly basis from Norfolk Records, Registry of Records. So we're going to have to see if they cover that in terms of Franklin specific, because his number was 275 existing home sales. So not the new apartments, not the new builds, 275 of existing home sales in order to maintain our population. not to grow it, to maintain our population. Because the other staggering piece, one of the other assumptions, and actually the, and I forget the term for it, but it's equivalent to the birth rate. We're not growing at a rate to maintain our population. We're growing, actually losing population. So that's rather interesting.
And those are only three of the 17 assumptions, 19 assumptions that he presented to us. So there's a lot to think about, a lot to consider.
Yes, indeed. And then, as you mentioned, with the demographics, and then the second piece is going to be in an April timeframe, late April, in terms of the facility analysis, where, you know, what existing capacity do we have in the existing schools to provide the education, which clearly the educational requirements have been changing over time.
They have. And okay, the information that we've had, I mean, the size of classrooms, the amount of space that is needed to provide the learning that these kids need, sure. It has been increasing steadily over the years. Right. And after the architect does the assessment, not just of Davis there, but of all of the schools in town, I will, we'll be able to make an intelligent decision.
Yeah, and for Chloe and Davis Thayer is a case in point. It was built as a high school back in 1924, I think, based on the date up on the cross piece.
Yes.
And it's yet being used as an elementary school today, so significantly different over a number of years.
Significantly different. The folks that are over at Davis Thayer now, what they do with the space is amazing, and we'll see what happens.
One of the other pieces, some of the newer folks to Franklin won't recognize, but those of us who've been around for a bit, when we had our peak population, it was 6,300 in the school. We also had some number, I believe it was around 10 modular units in a number of the elementary schools to provide that additional capacity, because we did not have it with the buildings we did have.
Right, and there were a couple right out front of Davis Thayer. I drive into town. Here's one of the oldest schools in town, if not the oldest school in town. And here are these nice new modulars, and they were finally taken away. They served their purpose.
Sure.
I mean, back when they were being dispensed of, some of them, I'm sure, were destroyed, but others went to other districts where they could be...
To get repurposed. Yeah. So the use of the modulars allowed Franklin to meet some of that wave that's still going through the high school, at least, that we saw in the projections. But then that wave clearly is going to be dropping off, so that we're, I think, around 5,100 students, but we're going to get down to about 45, 44, according to the projections he shared.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, interesting things happening locally and also nationally as well, as Senator Biden, or I should say Vice President Biden, former Vice President Biden, sees a surge with early returns showing him doing very, very well in a number of states. Interestingly, we just reported that Mike Bloomberg won the American Samoan vote with 100% of that vote in and almost 50% there. Only half kiddingly, I just wonder if that was worth $500 million. Maybe I'm showing my bias here, to say the least. But we are, all the pods, the ballot pods have been put away, and it looks like we are nearing what I would think would be the end, don't you, Steve?
They're probably, well, they're still working on the tally sheets. So if you recall the process with the 8 precincts, you would come to the check-in, pick up your ballot, fill it out in the ballot box area, and then actually feed the electronic machine at the end. The machine is then closed out, and it runs a tape. And the tape has the record of the totals of by ballot, by candidate, whatever. Those totals are then manually entered into the spreadsheet, and that's what they're working through. When we had talked earlier, they were fourth
right.
precinct into the 8. Hopefully they're closer to the 8. But that's that manual process they're doing. These results we're getting tonight will only be unofficial results anyway.
Right.
They still, per state process, have 3 days to certify them. There's some additional checks and balances they do at the town clerk's office tomorrow. There are some international ballots coming in that through the federal process and state process, if somebody was like a student abroad or a military service and stationed abroad, they have the capability to do their voting. That voting has to circulate through the channels and then get sent to the town clerk, and they've got a couple of days still to process those. So everything should be buttoned up. Generally, it's done tomorrow, but legally, she has up until Friday to finish the voting.
It's a big process, and for anybody that's just joining us or if you've been listening and you're wondering where we are, we're at the Franklin Public High School here in Franklin, Massachusetts. We are covering the election returns here on Super Tuesday. We are obviously, as I just said, in Franklin. We're in a gymnasium which now has all of 10 people in it, and two of those people are tallying the votes. The rest of us are standing by talking about the election, talking about Super Tuesday. We do have a newspaper reporter that's joined us here, and of course we have our crack staff from Franklin TV and WFPR 102.9 FM radio. And if you're listening, we are looking down the line and it looks like the clerks are starting to talk, which is a good sign because that probably means they're wrapping things up. What do you think, Steve?
Hopefully they're getting closer.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So tapping into, we'll do two things. One, just a quick recap for those who are just joining us. We are broadcasting live from the Franklin High School gymnasium. This is the second time we've broadcast an election result. This is also the second time the studio, the station, has been live ever. So this is a historic moment if you're listening. And I'm proud to be part of it and happy to be part of it.
Yeah. So it looks to me like we've got movement now as Nancy Tonello comes walking away from the table. These guys have to be exhausted from a night like this.
When you're running the tapes, as I mentioned earlier, and if, to recap, each of the voting precincts has a voting machine. Each machine, as it's closed out, runs a ticker tape, if you will. And the tape has the tally for each of the precincts. Those precincts then go into a spreadsheet, and that's a manual process, which is why there's the two people. So one's reading, one's typing, they're cross-checking. And if the totals don't add up, that's where we could be have had the delay.
I'm not allowed to balance my checkbook, okay, let alone do something like this. So I'm glad we have clerks.
Well, you saw the length of the ballot. There's an awful lot of things on those ballots, and if the dots aren't filled in properly, if they're filled in properly, they'll read. If they read less, they'll read all the way through. If there's something outside, it'll kick out. Certainly, I think you heard in one of the recorded sessions earlier, the clerk was reminding folks to have, and clearly you've already voted today, but for the next time, stay within the circles. Don't use X's. Don't use checks. Stay within the circle.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's below your pay grade, go home. Hey, Steve, one of the things that I've been very interested in getting to know you even better, most recently since you've been volunteering, is the fact that you really are a pure journalist. You don't have, regardless of what's going on in town or anything else, you maintain that journalistic integrity. And you're very careful about that.
I certainly try to do that every single day. I'm human. I may slip. I try not to. But in reference to our earlier discussion, yeah, I don't do party politics.
Right.
Clearly, from the personal side, I'm aware of it. But as far as Franklin reporting is concerned, I don't do party politics. I follow the money. Borrowing from the movie that made that phrase famous.
Right.
But clearly, as we've discussed earlier, between the town council, the school committee, and the finance committee, that's where I focus, and that's because that's the money. It starts from the FinCom, all the budgets presented there. School committee budget goes there first. Town council budget and all the department budgets get viewed there. Then FinCom makes a recommendation to the town council, and then they ultimately decide what the budget's going to be. So we're, as we were talking earlier, March 4th, Wednesday, is going to be the introduction of the town administrator's recommended budget. Last week, the school committee presented their recommended budget. Technically, it was the superintendent's recommended budget.
Yep.
They went to the school committee. There's a deficit forecast in there. Clearly, they're going to have to work out that deficit in order to come to a balance by June 30th at the end of this fiscal year to start for the new fiscal year, which is fiscal 2021.
Mm. Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
There's a deficit in the current budget?
There's a, in the forecast from the school committee. They're forecasting that based upon their needs, they're not going to get enough revenue from the town, which really means they're going to have to do some
for the current year or next year?
For next year.
For next year.
Next year. The 2020 budget is balanced, and clearly there'll come valid and audited later is what the term comes up for free cash. It's neither free nor cash, but it's an accounting reconciliation. So if the town spends less than they've allocated, that money becomes part of free cash. And if revenue exceeds what they forecasted, that becomes part of free cash too.
Which should happen with snow plowing.
Theoretically, at this point, because this winter, knock on wood, has been relatively kind to us, we may have additional money left in free cash at the end of this allocation, so some of that money can be used to fund additional capital projects. It can't go operational, but it can go to capital.
Capital project. In the current year.
In the current year, right.
Or it can be held as free cash for the next year.
If they choose to do that, effectively they've just, you know, taken the risk, and maybe for small dollar amounts, less than $15,000-$20,000 or whatever, you may want to, okay, we don't have something big, we won't use it. But if there's any significant amounts, clearly there's enough capital demand to use it this year.
Yeah. Well, the town has always been fiscally responsible has, in my opinion, done a pretty good job in balancing the budget. Of course, there's a lot of things I still don't understand. Why does the Tri-County High School, a single building, have both a superintendent of schools and a headmaster or principal? One school has a superintendent and a headmaster and principal.
I think that's because of that regional approach. They service, 13, 14 communities from a Voc Tech perspective. We also have Norfolk Ag Agriculture School, which also is a regional piece. So effectively, Franklin, while we have the Franklin schools, we also have a contribution per student to Tri-County, contribution per student to Norfolk.
And the Norfolk Aggie School is a wonderful opportunity that Franklin students, I'm not sure, are aware of. They also, it's more than an agricultural school. There's small engine repair. There's a number of different things. So Franklin students have three different schools that they are able to attend.
In addition to the charter school, which is gradually getting up to, but not going to include the high school. They're expanding just up to grade 9.
Yeah.
Steve Sherlock here at the Franklin Municipal Building in the town clerk's office with town clerk Teresa Bearer and assistant clerk Nancy Danello, with still the unofficial results on the day after the presidential primary in March. And Teresa, you've got the numbers.
I do, Steve. We have, first of all, total registered voters that we have is 23,968. We have 6,769 that voted, and this is all unofficial.
Correct.
I'll read off to you the top three Democrat.
Okay.
For the presidential, we had total votes for Joseph Biden is 2,631, Bernie Sanders 1,546, Elizabeth Warren 1,263.
And on the Republican side, I think it was less of a contest.
It was,
respectfully.
Steve. So I have Donald Trump, the top vote getter at 1519, and then I have William F. Weld, 187 votes, again, all unofficial.
Correct.
And Joe Walsh, 25.
Right, and then you'll be certifying the results through to the Secretary of the Commonwealth. You'll post them to the website. Clearly, Franklin Matters will share them. And I know it's been a long day, so thank you for all the work you've done.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at the next election.
Sure will. Sure, we'll be there.
Well, Peter, I think that probably wraps us up.
It does indeed.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for listening. Steve, what
Absolutely.
A pleasure.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you, Frank.
Till next time.
And thanks for everybody that participated tonight. Glenn Jones, Jeff Roy, Mary Jane Schofield. I'm Jim Derrick saying thanks for listening to election coverage here on WFPR 102.9.
This wraps up our local election day coverage on Franklin Public Radio. Again, our thanks to Teresa Burr and Nancy Dinello, their staff and volunteers, for all they do to make this all come together and to make coming down to the polls to vote as easy and enjoyable as possible. I'm Diane Joyce. Thanks for listening. This is FPR.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008. In used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.